Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This podcast contains adult content.
Some of the themes or topics may include
information on murder, kidnapping,
torture, dismemberment,
maybe some demonic content,
with information on possessions
and paranormal activity.
This podcast will also include explicit,
horrible and foul,
socially unacceptable,
totally uninhibited,
adult themes language.
So if you're easily offended,
if you're easily triggered,
then I highly suggest you turn this off now, and if not, just keep in mind,
parental discretion is advised.
Welcome back, everybody, to Mysterious Circumstances Podcast. I'm your host, Justin. I've been up and down and absent here quite a lot lately, and everything's kind of settled down a little bit, so I'm going to start doing regular schedule again, and that also includes Patreon as well. I will be uploading a full-length episode on Patreon this weekend. It is an unsolved murder episode. I also have a lot of stuff coming up that is like half-ass research that I got to finish up, so you're going to be getting hit with some episodes on a regular basis again. I also do have some news about a live show in my home fucking stomping grounds of Fort Wayne, Indiana, at the Haunted Bell Mansion. It is going to be a two-hour tour of the mansion. There's going to be a meet and greet with me and Jerry and Tracy from Hillbilly Horror Stories. And then there's going to be a three-hour show with me, Jerry, and Tracy. And afterward, from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m., we are going to be doing a paranormal investigation in this 15,000-square-foot crazy mansion that was a funeral home for like 93 years. It is fucking insane. This place, like, right downtown in Fort Wayne, too. So it's kind of going to be really awesome. And I'll put the link for tickets in the episode description as well. Other than that, I do have some new Patreon subscribers to thank. Thank you, Matthew, Jenny, and Taylor Martinez. I hope that's how you pronounce the last name. If not, I do apologize. I do have some reviews to read as well, but I'm going to hold off on that until the next episode because some of them are kind of lengthy. And of course, there's a two-star review in there as well. This episode is definitely an interesting one if you're into aliens, and if you like when me and Brian Bowden get together and talk about this kind of shit, you're going to love this episode. If not, well, this weekend I'm sure I'll be dropping something else for you. So with all that behind us, let's get on with the show. Welcome to this episode of Mysterious Circumstances. I am joined yet again by my good friend Brian Bowden, and we're going to talk about the 1996 UFO incident in Brazil, where supposedly a UFO crash landed, and there were a couple aliens, creatures, depending on the description that you want to go by. It was witnessed by lots of people. There were some people that died. One of the bodies supposedly was taken to a hospital afterward. I love the government's explanation for this stuff. It is some of the most creative. It's not even creative. It's just no imagination whatsoever. And Brian just asked me what got me into it. And I was on TikTok just kind of scrolling through videos, and I saw a short clip on it. And I kind of went from there. Of course, Art Bell had interviewed somebody who had a lot of knowledge on it. I listened to that. And then that's about the time that I texted you randomly, like I always do. Yeah. So I guess that's how I got into it. It's pretty interesting. I personally think so. But yeah, that's pretty much how I found it, man.
I'll tell you what, I'm friendly with James Fox, but like, not like we're buddies. We don't go out to drinks, you know.
Yeah.
Message every once in a while. Well, you know, he did a kick-ass job on his film. I mean, you know, that film is just incredible. And if you haven't seen the movie yet that came out about this case, it's worth every penny that you would spend to go see A Moment of Contact. Okay? I'm going to tell you straight up. It's fantastic and out of this world. He almost got killed doing this. And he's one of the few people that actually is, as far as research investigator, he's real boots on the ground. He goes down to South America often and he investigates some of these cases. And I like his angle because when you're talking about this whole UFO subject matter, third world nations are great because they don't always have the resources on hand to really investigate these things. So sometimes people come out like, "Man, look what I got in the garage." You know, some of these people, they're like, "Come on, yo, homie, let's go." That's why it's great. But this was significant. I mean, there's rumors on this thing. The United States of America, they claim in 1996, they shot down a UFO. And I'm going to tell you that I've been researching UFOs and all this paranormal stuff for a long time, 40 plus years. I don't think the U.S. even is closely remotely able to shoot down a UFO. Okay. That would be like bringing.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah. That this whole UFO, especially what was going on this year with those mysterious balloons and stuff, the U.S. shoot down a UFO is like bringing a .22 to a howitzer fight. It ain't going to work for you. You know? mean, It's just not. I mean, we don't have the technology to do it.
No. And you can listen to David Fravor. He was on the fighter jet that took the Tic Tac video. And even he said, he goes, "Dude, this thing anticipated my moves before I even did them. There is no way that we could ever do anything to these. It's impossible."
There's reasons for that. The reason is when you're within a certain zone, a lot of these extraterrestrials, ultra-terrestrials, interdimensionals, whatever, they work on a different wavelength. They work on consciousness, and they tap into you, and they know they can speak to you and have you hear it. They can send you images and have you see it. They can give you experiences and have you experience it. And once they get close enough to tap into who you are, when he's making that move, like, I'm gonna ditch left and then come up, the UFO already knows what you're going to do. And they're out of, you know, they'll get out of there. But the sheer speed alone would prevent you on conventional weapons anyhow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, but I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt for this episode.
I will say, like, okay, so for the listeners, this happened on January 20th, 1996, and it was in Brazil. And you know the pronunciation of the town, because I screw it up every time. It's Varginha.
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 I believe it's
Varginha.
My Spanish is limited.
So according to eyewitnesses, there is a cigar-shaped craft. And according to one witness, he said that it kind of dipped down a little bit and then went back up and then dipped down, right, kind of like it was having trouble trying to get out. And then he said the craft was actually shaking. And he said it was like a really wobbly dryer. He said it was shaking like that before it crashed. Is that correct?
Yes and no. Let me go back a little bit. So apparently this thing was shot at on the 13th of January.
Oh, okay.
So it goes back 7 days prior. And I think what happened was maybe something did happen. Maybe they did get lucky, or maybe they did something where they did an evasive maneuver. We don't know on the craft. And it was in the 20th where it reached that point of like it was messed up. That craft was going down. And you're correct. I mean, there's a guy. His name is Carlos D'Souza.
Yeah,
Carlos D'Souza was the guy that was witnessed this craft initially, like, you know, what he was, you know, what it was doing. He described it as like the size of a school bus, but the shape of a submarine, and it had like white smoke out of it, you know, and a gash. There was like a gash in the back of it. And then the thing was like undulating, like a malfunctioning watch machine, kind of like what I have now in my house. It's like this walking by itself, which is really odd. So there must have been a geostabilization problem with the craft, and they really tried to either fix it or rectify it or whatever, and it was like it wasn't working. And then what happened is, you know, it was kind of like jerking in and out of the, you know, D'Souza said something to the effect of kind of looked like they had a little control, and then it would go down deeper and then have a little bit more control and go down. And then eventually it just crashed in the side of this field. It's kind of like, it's weird. Brazil is a very strange, very mountainous region. So it crashed in a field near the, he was there. He was like probably no more than 100 yards from it. And he got out and he looked around and he, I think he said at one point in one interview that he was looking to see if anybody was hurt, first aid or something like that. This guy is very interesting. And this whole case is very interesting because it goes in a little bit deeper. We'll get to that. But when he was there, he saw what looked like pieces of metal and aluminum all across, strewn across the field, like where the crash. So it hit, crashed, moved, and then it disappeared. And this must have been on the military radar because not long after he was there, you know, he picked up a couple of pieces. D'Souza was describing how he picked up this piece. It looked like aluminum foil. And then he crumbled it up, and then he opened his hand, let it out, and it reformed into the original shape it was.
Mm-hmm.
It returned into it. And
from what I read on one site, the reason the military showed up so fast, from what I understand, is that it was tracked on NORAD by American government, and they contacted the Brazil military, and that was why they showed up so shortly after the crash. That's just what I read, though.
Oh, no, you're pretty much spot on. The United States of America had been the sole source of rescue recovery for unidentified craft and beings for decades, only up until recently. They went everywhere around the world, and 99% of the time when you talk about UFOs crashing someplace, Africa, Europe, even near Russia, definitely in Asia, the U.S. were the first ones. We got it, and they got it, or they got the military of said country to give it to them. This was not a joke. The U.S. would not let any other people play in their reindeer games because this is major league. They knew exactly what was going on with this. I'm sure they alerted the military, and they said they finally probably got a picture of it going down. And these people were probably high alert. What is it? I think the military group is SAE, capital E, lowercase s, capital S-A. I think that's the name of their organization. Although every time I hear that, I just think of one guy with his top button. Oh, forget about it.
No, I know exactly what you're saying, because when I read it, I was like, is that right or is that a typo?
Yeah, walking in chinos and, you know.
Yeah. Chuck's that, on, you know, Chuck Taylor's.
Yeah. I forgot that stroll that they do, whatever it is. I'm surprised the trucks or the military didn't come in bouncing, you know.
For real, dude. And the smell, so, too. The smell was one thing they were really specific on, that D'Souza, right? D'Souza said that it smelled like rank, like ammonia and sulfur. Just, it was overpowering.
Ammonia, sulfur, rotten eggs, and, well, that's where the eggs and sulfur would be in there. But the ammonia threw me for a while. It still throws me. Because there must be some kind of chemical compound that's created or used when you put ammonia. We're using ammonia, and I'm not.
Yeah.
I did okay in my chemistry. I didn't focus too much on it. You know, some of these compounds that are reported in some of the stuff that's using this new technology or this UFO type of technology is it's pretty interesting, and it's stuff that you would you would not expect you'd be using for a high-tech type of machine. But a lot of this stuff is commonplace. That's why the ammonia is like, oh, this is interesting to know this, even more so. Mm-hmm. Because I've always had this belief that we have things right now that are readily available over the counter that we can probably use to build anti-gravitational devices. And, you know, hook it up to our car and do the whole, you know, we can just figure it out. It's got to be a lot more simpler than it is. That's just my two cents. Yeah, he described the crash, but he also described that the military is pretty much right there. The soldiers just came out of their vehicle. I think it's like a 10-ton truck. What are they using in the military? That big troop transport, you know, with a canvas over it. Yeah. My father-in-law actually used to fix those mechanic-wise in Germany. He was in Germany. And then one time it was sliding down a hill. He goes, I'm out. he told everybody, get out of this thing. he jumped out. And then he rolled over to the side and the thing went down like a ravine. But they told him, you know, go away, get the hell out of here, you know, and they ordered. Not only did they order him, they actually threatened him with a rifle. Several rifles, of course. And he backed away. This guy doesn't seem like, you know, the type of guy that's like a troublemaker. You know, he's like, okay, yeah. I'm out. I'm good. So,
weird shit and wanted to go check it out.
I'm going to go straddle back and forth from what I remember prior to this, different interviews. You mentioned Art Bell, and that was a long time ago. I actually saw the documentary. You know, I mean, I did, you know, that was, I didn't see it when it first came out. I got a message from Team Fox about it. And I was just about, I got caught up in something. I was going to try to help with the production. Like, you know, not that I'm not rich at all, but I think there was like almost like a GoFundMe type of S thing. And I wish I could, but you know, I have real life and two daughters. So they take all my money, whatever I have.
I get it. I can understand that.
Yeah. I was only recently be able to like, you know, and I had to break it up in the three sessions because when you have kids that are younger, it's like, you have no time to yourself. You know, it's like, can dad go to the bathroom for one? No, I got to go now because we got to go get those cars. I'm like, okay. I'm coming. I've seen this thing over a couple different times, you know, like a couple of days. And then one day I had, you know, it was like probably 4 days. And also after a while, I got tired. I'm like, I'm going to go to sleep and watch. You know, I want to pay attention to what James is doing because James Fox really does a great job on it. Holy crap. I'm so thoroughly impressed with what he did. Mm-hmm. And I think there's going to be some more coming out from him. He's working on an angle, but we'll talk about that in a second. So yeah, the military was right there. And he was later on, D'Souza was interviewed and contacted later on as one of the eyewitnesses. But he was just one of those people that were involved in it. The real good stuff gets when...
The three women?
Yeah. And
yeah,
I had to look this up because I didn't remember. I knew there was three young girls. Like one was like 14, 15. The other one was like 21. They were all friends.
Yeah.
This was 7 days after the crash. For the most part, the three girls, and one was Katia Xavier. I'm gonna brutal this. Bella, Sylvia, and Lillian. Thank God, Sylvia. The two sisters and the older girl were walking through an empty lot between their houses, and what caught one of their eyes was graffiti on the walls. And this is, you know, sometimes it's gang related, sometimes it's just a free expression of yourself. And it caught their eye. And as one of them went closer to it, that's when they literally saw the creature. It was there. It was on the ground.
Yep.
And it's sitting, it's kind of like, it's like a squat. It's a squat position. Yeah. They were just in awe. You know, they saw this creature there and they said that it looked very frightened. And like it was afraid, but they also said it looked a little bit sick. It was wobbly, and you know it's freaking hot in Brazil, so there could have been an issue with heat and drying out. I know reptiles. I'm not going to talk about reptilians right now. I don't know if they are, but you know I know they enjoy the heat for the most part. They like it dry, but they still need the cool stuff. And this thing seemed to be crouched down in that alleyway. You know, kind of hidden by like some upper grass that overgrown. And so I think it was the 14-year-old who actually was there, and I'm trying to remember, and I think it was one of the sisters. It was the Balakera or something like that. She said she looked into its eyes, and she said immediately she felt like connected to it, and she knew it was scared, and it was scared the hell out of it. Needed help. It was scared. The creature was definitely afraid of the kids and everything that yes. was going on. Yeah, so they bugged out. But the creature is really interesting because picture the head. How do I describe this without very, yeah, very slender? It's really hard. So it's like very, huge, very slender.
Yeah, but with a huge bobblehead from what they said almost.
Best way to describe it, the way people will kind of see it in their heads, is hopefully you guys saw Star Wars. When Guido was in there talking to Han Solo, it very much looked reminiscent to Guido, but without clothing on. So it was like a triangle, rounded, shaped head, almost like a gray alien, and very slender. And it seemed that the skin was, I want to say green, but darker, and like a frog, like a wet frog. And it's crouched down. But the weird part is its eyes on top of its head, first of all, are they like these bumps coming out of the top of their head, almost like a crown. Some people like to do what's the crazy stuff now? They do implants in their brain in the underneath your skins to pop out.
Oh, yeah.
They make it look like they're... Okay, so picture somebody doing that, but with like, you know, different size marbles. So it kind of like had like
spider eyes horns on top.
Yeah, something like that. Like horns, a little bumps coming out of the top of its head, but the eyes were like redder than red.
Yeah.
And it was very, very strange. And I think the problem with this creature is red eyes are usually, you know, indicative of a nocturnal animal. This was like 3 o'clock, 3:30 in broad daylight. This thing probably was way out of its element. Not only just talk about, you know, being on Earth and it's from another planet or system or whatever, but if you're a nocturnal animal and you are found during the day, I mean, first of all, it must have been brighter than bright.
Oh, yeah. Just
visually see for this thing, blinding it, and then you're injured, you're hurt, you just went through a major crash. So this thing was scared out of its wits. So it huddled down there, clumped up weeds in the vacant lot. And these two girls, the two sisters, when they all got close and they finally saw this thing, they got scared out of their minds and they ran. But the older one was there, Katia, I believe, Xavier. She was the older one. She said that it communicated, it needed help. Like she heard it in her brain. She heard it in her head. And people call that telepathy.
Telepathy,
for the most part. Yeah, or they call it mind speak. I don't like really mind speak because...
I don't either. It sounds stupid.
No, it sounds, you know, too much like Mind Freak, and I don't like that guy as a magician anyhow. sorry, Chris. Just a little too pretentious. But there are abilities that all these creatures do have these abilities because they're using it in a heightened sense. You're using more of your brain and you're focusing on these things. And there's the ability. Everybody has this ability, by the way. Not to sidetrack you on this, but everybody has an ability to actually speak to each other without speaking to each other. You can use your brain to send the messages there, and people can hear it. Some people do it really, really well. I had a friend growing up that did that. I was witnessing it. His mother didn't say a damn word, and he's like, but yeah, I'll be back later. And then like a second later, like, I told you, it's in the, you know, it's like, you guys just had a conversation without your mom saying anything. Like, yeah, we do that. And I'm like, okay, that ain't freaking weird enough. Where are we going? Okay, let's go, because it just got real freaky. So basically, this thing was scared. There were police involved, and the military went into the town that they were in, Virginia. Like Virginia or Virginia.
Yeah.
I don't want to call it Virginia, but, you know, there were other people that, you know, locals have seen this, you know, this craft that was flying around, whatever. But primarily, once this creature was there, there were people on search and rescue. well, search and grab, actually. The military was all over it.
Yeah.
And then there were some officers that were involved in looking this up and getting it done. One of the...
Lopez?
I think it was Lopez. There were two officers, and I'm trying to find his name because...
Well, while you find his name, I'm gonna tell the listeners what a later investigation, the explanation of the creature that they saw or the alien.
This was great
because that is the greatest shit ever.
This would show good. So,
so apparently, in town, there is a mentally ill, disabled man, and he has a name. I can't remember. His last name starts with an M. And he's got like a hunched back, and they straight up, they're like, "Well, that's who you guys saw." it was the the local drunk guy who, you know, has the hunched back and is just the local crazy guy who drinks or whatever. And the girls are just like, "No, that is not who we saw, dude."
No,
but in their official report, which came out, I believe, in 2010. After they did a 14-year investigation on this. And I mean, even the skeptics are like, "Oh yeah, it had to have been that homeless dude, you know, with the hunchback." Yeah. And the girls are just like, "No, dude, there is no way it was him.
It wasn't Harry." It's really it's interesting because the military involved in this had no clue. I mean, come on. People aren't that stupid. And when you have a guy that's a hunchback that has like mental issues in the town, everybody knows who you are. Right?
Absolutely.
Yep. I mean, come on. You have this kid, yeah, don't go by Mr. Walker's house. You know how crazy that guy is. You know, there's always that crazy guy. No, don't go. You know, he's going to send those dogs again. <You know? laughs> Everybody's like, damn, he's weird. Matter of fact, it's like the Sandlot, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's always some creepy, it's your classic, you know, scenario for every one of these like 80s, 90s movies, you know. All creepy.
The
guys.
Burbs.
Yeah, exactly.
You got that one house on the block.
3 in the morning. It's like, what the fuck is it doing here? But at one point, I don't know if the creature actually moves from that location. Before we get into that, there was also this. I've read reports that people were seeing this thing at a hospital afterwards. Well, we'll get into that.
Yes.
We'll do this.
Yes.
So basically what happened,
the explanation for that one from the government is even better than the
hunchback
crazy
guy. I'll let you do that because that was just really oh, man.
I'm like, you guys couldn't have thought of anything fucking better than that to tell these people. It's like, holy shit.
Thank God it wasn't really politically correct back then because they just, they didn't have an officer of that. But, so this creature darts out, right? Basically what's happening is this creature is moving at night from wherever it was, trying to either, you know, get parts for its craft to kind of fix it, you know, or, you know, get back home, save its life. And it runs in front of a police officer vehicle, and there are two officers in there. And one of the officers in the vehicle, and I know this guy's name, Marco Cherezzi, he gets out. And he captures the creatures with his bare hands. He grabs this creature.
Yes.
And the creatures just can't even, I don't think it's fighting or really.
I don't think it
pretty
can
weak.
Fight back at that point.
No. Okay. So there's two different stories here. So when he caught it with his bare hands, right? And he wrapped it, you know, like, you know, you grab it like a child and you're holding it and you get into the car. Some people said that he was scratched.
From what I heard, it was just whatever the skin of the creature like the grease or whatever, like got on his skin. Yeah, that's what I read anyway.
Yeah.
So, I only saw in one thing that I read that he had gotten scratched. And I was like, why is there only one source telling me this?
I mean, like I've read it in maybe one source, but I think it was, of like 10 different sources talking about this case. There's only two, and I think each one bit off of each other. So I always whittle that out. You know, if everybody said, or the majority said, you know, he was scratched, then I would lean that direction. But I think it was more of the fact that there must have been something toxic on the creature, or it was oozing or coming off. Now we have in Florida, everybody knows about them. I mean, the people have toxic toads down here and frogs, and when you squeeze them, they Kurt, this white type of liquid, and it's very poisonous. But the kids down here like to lick the frogs.
And that's what I was gonna ask, dude, you trip your balls off when you lick those things. Yes, you do.
So there was an epidemic of frog licking down here in Florida. They don't do it anymore. I think they learned their lesson. But yeah, you would squeeze the frog. Actually, indigenous people do these things because they use it for their vision quests and for ceremonies. It was like peyote or whatever. But I think what happened was, you know, you take too much of that, it's going to kill you. Okay. Yes. And something very interesting about it, I'm gonna switch gears, but it's in the same genre here. There are gray extraterrestrials out there, the little grays. There's a bunch of different grays. And the grays are the worker bees, okay? They're biological entities, which are basically clones that we know how to create. And they're the ones that go and do things. And I got to be honest, the majority of them, I think I may have talked about this before, their IQ is probably no higher than 80. They're not that bright, but they know what they have to do as far as like, you know, move that, put that, get that person, whatever. They're really responsible for a lot of crashes because they do maintain control of the crafts when they're here. That's from a couple of interviews with people that have been doing researches, and we've kind of deduced that these are the Uber drivers of the galaxy, okay? That's basically what it is. So, but one of the things is the United States government, they won't admit to it, but it's kind of if you do enough research, they have the ability, they've been doing reverse engineering for UFOs since we got the Roswell
crash.
Right, and then we made an agreement with extraterrestrials. Yes, we did. Where they're going to give us some engine, you know, technology, and then we're going to allow the ETs to abduct, but not go crazy for their research. There was a mutual treaty, I think it was with Eisenhower. And again, what I'm saying here is rumored to happen, although there are certain things, you know, even Eisenhower's granddaughter talked about it, and she said, yeah, he told me about it, and why the hell would she make it up? But what happens is some of these EBEs, extraterrestrial biological entities, worker bees that we can now clone and create and work with us and we manufacture them, they escape and they go off the reservation. It's usually one of the byproducts is cattle mutilations, but some of the byproducts are human mutilations. Mm-hmm. So they have a taste for flesh and certain parts of the flesh. When you talk about cattle mutilations, you're talking about surgically removing sex organs and body parts, all the blood, all the fluids. And the same thing that happens to the cattle with eye sockets being removed and vaginal areas being removed or genitalia and some other stuff happens to humans as well. The way grays eat, they don't eat and put it in their mouths. What they do is they rub it on the exterior of their skins, of their arms and their body parts, and it gets absorbed through the pores. That's how they consume. Mm-hmm. And I think what happened here, this extraterrestrial, I think it's partially reptilian based, you know, and there are varieties of different reptilians, some that look like dinosaurs, some that look like this, which is humanoid, but with bumps on, a little bit more like some of the lizards that you would get that have the horns that come out. I think as it's injured, it's oozing some of this liquid that you would get from a frog or the poison toads or whatever, and that's what killed Marco, the police officer, because he died pretty quick after he did.
There is one theory out there, and I've only heard this one place, one rogue theory, I guess I should call it, is that he was actually killed off by the government because he wasn't willing to cooperate with the story or the narrative that they were trying to push.
I can see that happening.
I could see 100%. That. But that was one of those situations where it's like, I only read that in a couple spots out of 10, you know? So it's kind of like, well, man, I don't know. Because when they took what's-his-face to the hospital, the entire wing of that hospital was shut down because of the smell. And the smell was the same smell that they smelled when the craft crashed. So, I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, even when they reported, when he was, before he was, I think, he succumbed to his injuries or he got sick, he went home, he tried washing this off, he tried taking it off. It stunk. worse and worse and worse every day. And I think it was engulfing him and he was being poisoned by it. I like the theory about the government getting rid of him, killing him. But mm-hmm. I think the powers that be, being the U.S. military that is involved in grabbing this creature and, you know, playing the heavy for the Brazilian military, who they weren't up to the match against the U.S. They knew it.
Yeah.
It's a great way that if this guy dies and it purposely slips out, like, you know, if you talk, we're going to kill you. You know, or we're going to take, you know, we'll kill him because we're afraid he's going to talk. Then once the guy dies, knowing that he's going to die because he's been poisoned by touching this creature, everybody else will shut up.
Yeah.
I was told the story from a friend, one of my good friends, who has a lot of friends in that did work or grew up in Vietnam doing stuff for a three-lettered agencies. And one of the guys was an interrogator for the U.S. government. And what they do is, he goes, if you want to get information, you take three Viet Cong and they put them into one of these helicopters and they fly them all the way up and they hover over the jungle, like a couple hundred feet, right? 1,000 feet up, mm-hmm. or whatever. Doors open, mind you. And they ask the guy, what are your objectives? What is the mission? Blah, blah, blah. You know, all these questions. And the guy doesn't say a word. So the guy, they pick him up and they throw him out the helicopter. So now they get to the second guy and they're like, listen, you want to know where you're going? What your objective is, right?
So that's how they did it, man.
So, yeah. So he, you know, the second guy is, whether he doesn't know it or he doesn't understand the English or whatever, it doesn't speak, he goes out of the helicopter. He goes, by the time you get to the third guy, the guy's telling you everything you want to know.
Yep.
Well, this is what they said to him. And it's kind of fucked up. My friend said, well, what do you do with him? After he tells you, do you take him? Does he take you there? No, we throw him out of the helicopter.
Yeah, right? I had a buddy who was I used to work with, who was a long range patrol and did recon in Vietnam, and he was, there was a 5-man team, and they would drop him off in the middle of the jungle, and they recon and met up with a platoon after like 2 weeks out in the jungle, and when they would catch VC, one of the guys on his team was the interrogator, and they did basically the same thing. And he said that the interrogator was a full-blooded Native American. I can't remember what tribe specifically. But he's like, that dude had no problem. He went through them, except he used knives.
Well, yeah.
So, yeah, I get it.
I know someone who's a Native American. He's a good friend. He's a really great guy. He was in the Beirut bombing. He arrested the warlord in Somalia in the opening of Black Hawk Down. My friend mm-hmm. is the guy that arrested that guy in real life.
Nice.
And his job is basically like that. You know, he'll leave. He gets assigned something. If I can help you, honey, you know, or if I can call, I will, but probably can't. So I'll see you soon. And then he comes back. Nicest, quietest guy. Hey, what's up? You know, like, but yeah. if he can tell you all the stuff that he was doing, you would probably be just dumbfounded at the fact that I would say
he was the guy doing it.
Well, yeah, he's doing it, but it's like, there's a lot of evil in this world, folks. Okay. And we have people in places that do things to keep people safe. They're tasked with doing things that most human beings wouldn't even think about doing. And they're good with it. And it's just, they're bred a different way. You know, and I don't hold any Absolutely. Grudges towards them, whatever. It's just the way it is, you know, and it's unfortunate. And these people are just really sweet and great, wonderful people, but all's fair in love and war, right? Which is weird. So, you know, Marco, the cop, dying after a while, and he went to the hospital and they closed the wing, like you said, because the whole mm-hmm. thing stunk. Because I think what was happening was, it was getting, I think it was changing him internally.
I wouldn't
think
there doubt
was a poison, and then almost like he was succumbing to becoming this creature or something of this creature. I don't know how to describe it better than that. You know, not to say that he's going to turn into an extraterrestrial, but I think that just, it was just eating away at his biology. And mind you, this guy wasn't, they didn't even tell his wife that he was buried or whatever, do anything until like weeks later. You know, she wasn't allowed to do anything. The body wasn't released.
Yeah.
They said that the body was cremated, I believe, cremated and then buried. Something to that effect. But I have a theory that Marco wasn't cremated. I think they took the body back to the U.S.
To study it, of course, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's a major league. I mean, you're talking about black projects in the U.S., and they're primarily for power and superior over other people in war. So anything like that could kill people that quickly, they're definitely going to study it and figure out how they can militarize it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, which is really sick, but that's what people do.
Oh, yeah. So they said that one of the creatures ended up at the hospital too, right? The witnesses, yeah. I'm going to lighten the mood and tell you guys this story. So all these witnesses at the hospital who claimed to have seen this creature extraterrestrial at the hospital, and this was legit in a closed down side of the hospital, and part of that reason was because of the smell, and then the other part was because, obviously, you know, can't just have any random nurse trying to, you know, take pictures of an alien or whatever. But they told the witnesses in the official report in 2010, they told the witnesses that what they saw was a couple that was expecting a child, and they were about to be in childbirth, and the couple suffered from dwarfism, and that's what they saw.
Yeah. This is a dwarf. And
when I read that shit, I was like, do you guys honestly expect people to believe this shit? And the best part is the skeptics are like, yeah, that's exactly what happened. To think that a bunch of people in Brazil, as if their eyewitness testimonies mean less than anybody else's, you know, they're like, oh, these idiots didn't fucking see anything. There's no way. It was a couple that was expecting a child, but this couple suffered from dwarfism. That's what they saw. And I'm like, no fucking way, man. No fucking way. How do you explain the smell then? They still didn't even explain the smell, I don't think, in the report. I could not believe that shit. I'm like, you guys don't honestly expect anybody to believe this, but I don't know. Some people took it and ran.
Third world country.
That's the kicker too, is I had no idea that Brazil had so many sightings. I was clueless to this, man. I was listening to Micah Hanks, and he was talking about he went down there to do a story on this particular case, and within the first day he says, oh, I saw probably two or three things that we just couldn't explain. And the locals are just like, oh, yeah, we see this shit all the time. And he's like, well, what is it? And they're like, we don't know, man. It's, we just see this weird shit all the time. And he just couldn't believe it. He's like, I was down there one day, man.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, Brazil's huge, okay? Mm-hmm. You know, and there's...
Yeah. And this,
I mean,
particular area. There. Yeah.
But, you know, then you get into Chile, and then you get into Peru. Remember, all those Nazca lines that are down there, they've been coming and going throughout South America for millennia down there, these craft. And they're sighted on a daily basis because they think... What I think what happened, if you go back and you start peeling back some of the jungles, right, then what's going to happen is you're going to start seeing former civilizations that existed and structures. And these craft and these creatures, these extraterrestrial species, know that they existed. So they keep going there to see what the heck's going on, almost like an experimentation or observation. So that's why there's a ton of craft. You know, because this used to be a heavier concentration of individuals down there.
Yeah.
But yeah, Brazil is a pretty whacked out place, although I'd like to go. But as far as the other police officer that was with, what's his name, Marco Chérez, that guy disappeared. He took off. Yeah. And actually, he, to this day, will kill you if you come near him. He will not discuss this with anybody. And they do find him in the movie, in Fox's documentary. It's very interesting. The guy literally said, I'm going to shoot you. get the hell off my property. And he's been in hiding since this incident, since 1990. What the heck was it?
Six.
This guy's been hiding since that time. He is so scared of what's transpired and what's going to take place. He will not talk to anybody. He saw all of this. And I'm sure that's where, when you said that they threatened him, I'm sure he got threatened. And once his partner died, he's like, I'm not saying a freaking word. I'm out of here. You know, that's the other, the Sousa guy. All the people that are involved in this, the parents of the two girls, the family of the 21-year-old that was left there with the creature, both the police officers, I am sure every person at the hospital, anybody involved in this, I know that the families were paid visits by what you'd classify the men in black.
Yeah.
They said these very tall individuals wearing black suits, you know, sunglasses that kind of didn't have the right eyes. There was something weird about them. Offered them money to shut up and not say a word. Don't say anything. You know, you can be very rich down here, which probably would have been like, you know, a couple of grand for the forever.
Oh, yeah. I heard one person was approached, and when they were approached, it was a black vehicle with no plates on it. And it was two supposed men in black by description, by their description. But they were threatened. They came up to them and they said what their whole calling card is, they'll just walk up and they'll start naming off all your family members and where they live. Like, hey, I know about your two kids, you know, so-and-so and their ages. I know about your wife, so-and-so and her age. And they start naming off family members, their ages, where they live. And they're like, if you know what is good for you, shut up or take this money, you know, or whatever the case might be.
I mean, usually in a third world country, money, it would work faster for people.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because in Latin American, in the culture, they're usually very large families.
Oh, hell yeah.
I'll tell you that. They don't take kindly to be threatened.
No, they do not fuck around, Brian.
No, they don't. No, they do not.
Yeah.
I'll say that. I know plenty of them. And they, it's like, my third cousin from blah, blah, blah. I'm like, so what are you doing? Yo, we're going to his house. We're going to kick his. I'm like, he lives in like California. Yeah, no one messes with family, man. I'm like, okay. Yeah, that's kind of cool in many ways. That's kind of like, yeah. I
wish I had family. They don't give a fuck, dude. They don't give a fuck.
These are assholes. What the fuck? Yeah. They don't care.
And down in Brazil, I could see it being like some fucking gang member. And then like men in black come up and threaten them, right? And within five fucking seconds, like 20 dudes come out of like just several hiding, like one behind an alleyway, another one pops up behind a dumpster shotgun and shit. And they just got Uzis, man. And they're like, do you threaten my fucking cousin? That's my third cousin, man.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's cousin. So, you know, so that's why I think the money would have worked. But it's very weird. These people didn't want to say anything. They just stopped. And the problem they had was, and no one really talked about this for a very long time. Very long time, because people were genuinely scared, you know. And of course, the parents of the younger kids are going to be like, "Nope, they don't know anything. They didn't say anything. They may not have liked it was the dwarf child from whatever, you know,
dude, or the guy with contact, right? That shit fucking kills me, man. It took them 14 years to come up with that fucking story, dude. Yeah. It's like, come on,
the dwarf in the hospital. And the hunchback of Vienna, or whatever the hell it is.
Yeah.
That is just rich. But one of the reasons why the girls were adamant about it and the parents knew is because on the other end of that spectrum of like, family will protect family. You mess around in Latin houses and you lie to mom or dad.
Yeah.
It's going to hurt.
Yeah.
It's
you get your ass whooped, dude.
Yeah. They break I'm out sure they sandal. Got. Yeah. They don't monkey around. It's like, you know, give me a shoe. Bang. You know.
Yeah, I heard about one person, one witness becoming pregnant that she claimed was by an extraterrestrial when this happened. I honestly did not have enough time to dig into that any further. I don't know.
I didn't dig into it because it just that's like a weekly world news type of, you know, that's, I had ET's baby, and I just didn't, it didn't vibe because we know about the police officer. So how are you going to have sex with something and not die? Because the guy died from the slime that's coming off.
Yes.
The
Yes.
That woman must have smelt like crap for the rest of
her
life.
Horrible, dude. And here's the deal. My whole thing was, okay, there's this fucking alien and he's dying. And he's like, okay, I need to fuck somebody or impregnate them real quick before I die. He didn't have energy, man. You know, he doesn't have stamina for all that. He's just trying to live, dude. You know,
he just wants a cool and a beer. And like, I'm going to drop now. So I'm just later. I mean, no, it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't jive with the rest of the story.
Yeah. I mean, it jives for a great porn video. But
oh, absolutely.
That would be one of those good ones. I used to watch like Emmanuel on Skinamax.
Dude, I remember that show, man.
That girl was awesome. I mean, yes. She was so beautiful.
She was fucking hot, dude. But those stories were so fucking weird.
They were weird, but they were good.
I was like 10.
Yeah, well.
There was a storyline. But then you had Marilyn Chambers, too, you know, back in the day. Oh. And like hers all had like storylines and shit. But Emmanuel was just like a whole sci-fi thriller, you know?
Yeah, but then it's got aliens fucking. I mean, basically.
Fuck yeah, man. And when I'm 10, I'm like, this is fucking awesome. You know, I'm going to watch anything.
Better than any Penthouse forum ever.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and then I'd watch Tales from the Crypt right after that.
Yeah, well, that too. But, you know, I just didn't buy the pregnancy thing. I mean, it would be great for the Weekly World News. And I think that's where it literally came out of. You know, I think it came out of like a Weekly World News type of thing. Pretty bizarre because, my dad used to be in the paparazzi. So he's the guys that sent out the cameras, all the paparazzi guys. That's what he did for Wide World Photos. And he knew the guys that ran and operated Weekly World News. A couple of the guys in his office actually submitted some of those stories there. Like scandalous, really weird. I had the Turtles baby or stuff like that. The crazy stuff. Elvis and... I'm the son of Elvis.
Oh, hell so, yeah, man. Or Elvis is a preacher in a church down in Texas.
That, yeah. I mean, I've seen a picture of the guy.
He looks like him. I'm not going to lie. He really does fucking look like him.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he?
Yeah, but I can remember the National Enquirer because my grandma used to read that shit when I was like a kid, man. And she would always have one. I think she was just for entertainment or whatever. But and my grandpa would read him while he's on the shitter, you know, and like,
exactly. It's fun. You know,
and he's like, oh man, Elvis is working at a Burger King in Michigan. This is crazy. It's like, what the hell is going on?
Oh my God. Not Elvis. I actually went into Home Depot down here one time and this guy looked exactly, he had those, I was going to say that it looked like the thick Elvis glasses. He had the sideburns and the hair back. It was heavy. Man. And I'm looking and I'm like, no way, that's the king.
You know? There's no way.
I need some shit about it. I need some shit. You know, like whatever. I was like, I got to go up to ask him, like, hey, you want to join me some fried banana sandwich? No, no.
Oh, God, dude. He ate the fuck out of those things, man.
I've never had one of those, but it sounds pretty damn good.
It sounds really good, but I mean, those things are like 1,000 or 3,000 calories a piece, apparently. And I mean, it fits with what, I mean, I did an episode on his death and shit like that. And I mean, his final couple years, oh my God, he was eating up to like 16 to 18 pills a day. Fucking just the worst fried fucking foods you could ever imagine. And it's like, even if he was alive after his supposed death, dude, there is no fucking way he lasted that long. There is no way.
Maybe, you know what? Stranger things have happened. I'll just leave it at that.
That's true.
Oh, yeah. I didn't mean to sidetrack us from Brahania.
So the whole alien pregnancy thing, basically, I'm not on board with it. Brian's not on board with it. I don't see it. But it's always brought up when you go to look into this shit.
Well, the alien pregnancy would have the trombones. Sorry. Not buying it.
Fucking sound effects. That's perfect, dude.
Yes, they did. Womp, yeah, I'm using my Rodecaster to do this.
So,
fast forwarding back to this. Go ahead. Sorry about that.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I was just going to go back. I mean, other than what's going on, there's a couple of people that have come forward for the film purpose, but, you know, weren't really interviewed other than until they were doing the documentary down there. I guess they were too scared to step forward. But there were a couple of whistleblowers or military-based individuals mm-hmm. that were came forward and said that they were the ones, or this one guy, they called him Military X. He said that he was the one that transported the body of the creature from the hospital to the Army base. So I'm sure, and he described it. He said that they went into a different area of the hospital. The whole wing was closed off. He said there were a lot of people within that room area where the body was stored. It was in like a metal casket type of thing. He definitely saw it. He said that the creature's skin was like, you know, it's oily and greasy. He used the term silicone at one point. And yeah. You can get poisoned big time from silicone. The silicone poisoning is not a joke. A lot of people that, you know, work manufacturing for cork or silicone based stuff, a lot of times they have to wear gloves when they're processing this stuff because it is really, really toxic. It's bad for your skin, and it's that kind of oily. And if it gets on your skin and gets in your body, then you get poisoned. Even though he's a whistleblower and he's hiding behind anonymity, he's revealing a lot of truth to what he's saying mm-hmm. for the most part. But he was the one, he mentioned seeing the creature's foot, and it looked like a V-shaped foot. So picture a V, put your hands out, put your palms to the back and spread your fingers out like a V. And he said that there was meat there, but it's only like two toes. So kind of like picture a duck's foot or something like that.
That's what I had heard too. And the same thing I heard about like the fingers, there were like three fingers.
Yeah.
Or something.
But it was like one was elongated, your atypical alien of the body snatcher finger. That's it. That's the image I got when I heard about the fingers, you know, the three mm-hmm. tri-finger thing, which is pretty interesting. There's a couple of people. The U.S. Air Force was the one. They landed. They didn't even freaking announce themselves. They just like plopped down, like, boom, bitches, we're here. And out rolled a ton of equipment in there. I think one transport plane. And they had everything. They had helicopters. They had transport vehicles. They were the ones that came to the base and collected the casket. The casket was like a stainless steel. So they collected that and I think more, and then it was gone. They took that away. So there are people that are coming forward now. I think what was great about Fox's is documentary is he got other people involved in it that were, I guess, significant or enough importance and were formerly in the military. You know, like he got an Air Force and Army generals to discuss it. And said, you know, there's a lot of stuff that they're hiding about this investigation. And this is really significant because, as Fox stated in here, and he said, it blew him away because when Marco died, that police officer died grabbing this creature. Mm-hmm. And the other guy, I forgot his name, he saw this creature and there must have been some kind of interaction or something taking place. If you're going to grab something, it's going to be some kind of struggle. Even if you're tired, you're going to put that last bit of adrenaline into the thing, right?
Yeah.
So something must have transpired in that freaking moment, in that car, and on the way to the hospital, and on the way to all these places. Some information must have been transmitted somehow. And I don't think it's just that they threatened the other police over, we're going to kill everybody. I think something scared the crap out of this cop also, besides just the threat on his life. Like, he's literally the only person, he was in the same vehicle with this creature. This creature doesn't belong on this planet. This is how amazing this is.
Yeah.
This is one of the most monumental cases ever. Yeah, Roswell's up there. Don't get me wrong. Although, you know, that's all Stan Friedman, you know, talked about. Roswell, who's, you know. You're going to say anything other than that? This is really big because there's civilians seeing this.
Mm-hmm.
Not military, civilians are seeing this.
And they have nothing to gain by making this shit up.
And to this day, there's still, you know, there's still UFOs, that tons of UFO activity over South America. We discussed it. There are tons of cases of UFO sightings. There's actually a lot of the sightings that I'm hearing about right now are taking place towards the Southern Hemisphere. 2 weeks ago, I literally went outside my house, and I stay up late because I just can't sleep. I look up, and I'm looking to the western sky, and I see what looks like Jupiter. You know, it's pretty bright up there. And then I see another thing that's below it, and I thought, oh, maybe it's like a plane coming my way. But there was something familiar about it because I heard this high-pitched sound, and I looked, and it's there, and it's changing red, orange, green, blue, purple first. Mm-hmm. And it's changing colors. It's coming closer towards us, just underneath. So I'd say it would be 30 degrees up in the sky if you're standing. Okay. And I'm looking at this thing, and it's coming closer and closer, and it looks a little bit bigger than like a planet would be. So it's not as big as Jupiter in the night sky, which it looks like Jupiter looks like the North Star. It's like, bing, you can't miss it.
Yeah.
Jupiter, Mars, Venus, pretty bright. Some of them twinkle, and this has started to twinkle like that, but it's not in the right spot because I'm checking. I did study astronomy, but as a backup, I do check these things out with some apps that I have, and I don't remember all my star maps. Sorry. I have a thing called a life. <You know? laughs> It's not on my first priority. If I was studying and I was an astrophysicist, yeah, I'd know, like, oh, that's Cassiopeia, and that, you know, whatever. And it's changing color, red, orange, green, purple, blue, first. And then it starts doing this really weird thing. The best way I can say is if you've ever had a hula hoop or a hubcap or a quarter, you flip the quarter or you spun a quarter on the table, and as it kind of, like, stops spinning, it slowly comes to rest and it wobbles. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? And you see it looks almost like an X shape type of thing. And this thing started doing a little bit of that, and it's at a distance, but you can see that the light was a little bit of a ring around it, and it was dipped down to the left, and then it would pop up to the right, and then dip down to the right, and then pop up to the left. That's what it was doing. And I'm like, holy crap. And I try to, like, take out my phone, and I have the Apple phone, and I'm like, this camera is useless. It's almost as good as, like, you know, like Stevie, go out there and get those. Stevie wanted to go take some pictures over there. They did that with a camera. So nothing's coming up there. And I'm like, holy crap. I don't even know where I put my night vision. I have, like, a scope called the Psionic that I would use for night vision. I could have recorded it, but I was in the moment, and I think I was purposely there to see this. And I was afraid that if I ran away to go get my equipment, I'd come back and be gone. And all I did at one point is I turned to, you know, put my cigarette out, and I literally 2 seconds, I turned back, it was gone. My wife, she doesn't believe in UFOs or aliens or any of that stuff. She's like, we had something way back in the 90s in northwestern Connecticut. It flew over our car. I was doing about 70 miles an hour on this Route 8 north. And it was awesome. It was just a great freaking UFO sighting and experience. And I should have pulled over, but I think something told me don't pull over. This thing was about the size of a giant stadium flying over my car. And she literally, like, stood out of my moonroof. And she's like, what the fuck is this? And you can see how dark, blacker than black it is. It was like gunmetal black. If you weren't looking for this thing, there's no way in hell you would have noticed it. Because it started out as one of those radio towers. You ever see, well, I don't know. I know where you live, but you ever see radio towers? They're the tall, thin.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
they
definitely.
Have red lights, usually so many feet, right? And they blink, boom, boom, boom. That's what it started out in the distance. I said, oh, those are, she's like, what is that? So what are you talking about? Like, those are radio towers. And then it started tilting like this. And I'm like, oh, this is getting good. Then it went like this. And then it started heading towards us. And it wasn't a radio tower. And I'll tell you what, that radio tower is at least, and it's one of the largest ones in Connecticut. And I think it was almost like 3/4 of a mile
Damn.
Long. I think that was the size of it. I tried to look it up. This thing was huge coming over our car. It didn't make a freaking sound whatsoever. And in an instant, I got distracted with another car on the other end of the road. I looked for a split second. I looked back up. It was gone. I jammed on the brakes on this highway. And I got out of my car. It was a July 4th weekend. And I looked, and I'm like, where the hell did this thing go? So that's, the sightings are just piling up in South America.
Crazy.
So I think, yeah, it more so than other places in the country or in the world.
Oh, definitely.
You know,
it's a hotbed right now, which is crazy to think about.
Well, sometimes, you know, investigating these things, when you have UFO sightings throughout the world, and you have these, I call them constellation sightings.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them during the day. And you're looking up and you see this dot pop up, and then another dot, and then another dot, and another dot. It looks like a constellation during daylight. That's what it looks like. Yep. It looks like stars. And 9 out of 10 times when those start appearing, a disaster happens in the area they're appearing. They usually appear during fault lines, volcanoes, tsunamis, severe weather, hurricanes, tornadoes. They're there. And it's almost as they know it's going to take place and they want to witness it, bear witness to it, you know?
Wow.
So I think something's ramping up down for South America. I don't know what it is yet.
We will find out sooner than later, more than likely, then.
Hold on. Maybe we will just. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. So, Brian, please tell people where they can find you and listen to the content that you put out, along with any other stuff you want to promote. I think you have a new project coming out. Am I wrong in saying that?
Yeah, I've been trying to do this for a while with a friend of mine. She's having some issues. We have a new my show, and you can listen to them. There's some good stuff there and content. I'm going to be putting out my own content on it again, just to, you know, things that thoughts is on Inside the Goblin Universe. And in there is the show Inside the Goblin Universe with me and Ron Murphy. There's my other show, Nobo Boomy, which stands for Nobody But Me for that. And then I have other shows that I do stuff for the groups that I'm associated with, Bronxville Paranormal Society, New York State UFO Project, New York State Dogman Project, New York State Sasquatch Organization. I'm also part of co-director of the North American Dogman Project. I'm MUFON. I'm a remote viewer. I'm on every social platform.
Remote viewing is going to be the next topic I bring you on for, oh, by the way. We're going to do some experiments.
That's fine with me. We're going to do some experiments. And I'll tell you what, your listeners will be able to do the same experiment. Because even though they're listening on the podcast, don't cheat. Don't go forward and try to figure out what the hell it is. You can still, under the information, you know, focus on what I'm saying. You know, when I tell you to focus and meditate, you're going to do that. And then start drawing out what your impressions are, because impressions also exist. It doesn't have to be a live thing right then and there. You could be picking up what was in the envelope. So, but I'm everywhere. If you have any questions, I hop on Facebook every once in a while, Brian M. Bowden. You can message me. And if you do, tell me, you know, you heard me on your circumstances and give Justin some props so I know where the hell you're coming from. And you're not just some freaky dwarf giving birth in the hospital or hunchback.
Shit.
You know? Yeah. So, yeah, I don't want to take any more time, but yep, to be continued, Justin.
Yes, absolutely. And I appreciate you coming on as always, man.
You got it, brother. I appreciate you having me on. And, it was fun again.
I will talk to you later, yep. Man.
Got it. Stay safe.
Yep, you too.
Bye.
Bye.